Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in endless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and powers, every power as Thou can choose. Take my will and make it Thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thy home, it shall be Thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at its feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee.
As I mentioned, today is a special day for a number of reasons. It's a blessing to have the Duartes here with us, and just so grateful that they spent some time to come here. Melissa and I were able to meet them for breakfast a couple days ago, and that was a special time where they just really got to hear even more of their heart, just the things they go through. Folks, understand that that missionaries report, they really have kind of a responsibility. They give a lot of the good things that go on. You hear it, you see, you watch a video and you see all these things that go on. But understand something, and most of them are not going to get up here and give the struggles that are going on. But the fact of the matter is the devil doesn't want the work that they're doing in the mission field and where they're at. He doesn't want it. And so they're a target by the devil. He doesn't want it. He's going to do everything he can. And so I just want to encourage you that as we listen and as we hear, but don't forget, we're praising the Lord for what God is doing in Brazil, but they're in the front lines and they have a lot of work that needs to be done, and we need to be praying for them. And so anyway, we've enjoyed our time. We had a special time. It was a blessing that we had with you folks the other day, and it was a blessing. We met at a restaurant. We got to speak and hear. The waitress came up and said, somebody has paid for your meal. And we were like, what? We're all looking around at who that was, but it was a blessing. And so we're grateful that God did that for us. And we had a great time. Glad that they could be with us here again this morning. And so, Brother Jed, I don't know what God has put in your heart, but I know that it's what we need. And so why don't you come and share the truth with us this morning.
Good morning. It's good to be here. I'm assuming everybody knows who we are. We're the Duarte family, your missionaries in Brazil. And this morning I've been really, really struggling on what to preach. Sometimes I'll come up and then during the singing, I'll feel, okay, this is the direction I need to go. And up to stepping up here, I've flip-flop between messages. But would you take your Bibles and open to, let's see if it'll open. Not the Bible, but the message. The Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 is where we're going to go this morning. Philippians chapter 4. And I'd like to talk to us about, can everybody hear me okay? I feel like I'm, am I loud enough? If not, I start talking like this and then I have a kink in my neck. So, Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read verse 4 through 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 8. Let's stand in reverence to God's word. And we're going to read all these verses together. Let's read through 9, okay? Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 9. Rejoice. Okay, let's read it all together. All right? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding,
shall keep your hearts and minds through
Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. Lord, would you please work in our hearts this morning? Would you help us to leave here saying, look at what great things the Lord has done. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 4, Paul is writing from jail. And it's interesting that I can only imagine Paul there locked up, encouraging people. I know, I have found that in my personal life, when I'm down, when I'm stressed, when I'm hurting, some of the best thing you can do is quit looking at yourself. Go pour into somebody else. And that's exactly what Paul is doing here. Notice verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And then there's, I think it's two ladies that weren't getting along, right? Is that what's happening here? Are those ladies or guys? Don't look at me. No, just kidding. But anyways, I beseech you, I'm not going to try to pronounce it right, Euodias and Syntyche, that ye be the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellows, and that is what y'all have been, working together with us there in Brazil. Yoke fellows, help those women. There's our answer right there. If you look long enough, you'll find the answer. Those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clements also, and which with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. So that's kind of the launching pad for our message this morning. Paul is dealing with these brothers and sisters in the church at Philippi, but then there's a list of things here. Again, keep in mind, where was Paul during this? That's pretty good. Let's try that again. Where was Paul during this? Was he having fun or not? Let me ask you, was this affecting his attitude? This morning, really kind of the premise of the message is anxiety. And I think if we stop long enough and look, I think there's always, If you're like me, there's always that something that triggers me to become anxious or careful. What are you anxious about this morning? Is it your mortgage? Is it your marriage? Is it your fill in the blank? Your mechanics? Your car, for the sake of alliteration? Or maybe you're here this morning, you're single, and you're anxious, wondering, will the Lord provide the right person for me to get married? What are you anxious about? I know that this verse, this passage really spoke to me back in December, where I was very depressed as a result of being anxious so much about all that I had to do and ministry and this. But you know, God's desire is not for you to live an anxious life. Yet if we don't take the right steps, we will be anxious. But it's interesting. So let's look at a couple things here about anxiety. The brother had asked, what's the title of your message? I said, I don't know. I don't always have a title. And it's not alliterated either, but that doesn't matter. Let's go and see first. Notice the first command here that the Bible gives us. He says, rejoice in the Lord. What? That's pretty good. Let's try that again. Rejoice in the Lord what?
Always.
Always. Doesn't have the S. I don't ask how I found out. But it means always. So in other words, independently of whether I'm in prison or whether I'm in Papa John's or Perkins, I should be rejoicing in the Lord. It's interesting. If we stop to reflect, how often do we really rejoice in God? How often or how much of my life reflects the joy of the Lord? You see, the joy of the Lord is a fruit of the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is joy. What is the difference between happiness and joy? Anybody? You can talk to me. It's okay. I won't bite. Yeah, very good. I like to think of it this way. Happiness, something makes you happy. You go and you get a big cup of coffee, or Mama Brubaker brings a piece of pie. And she does. She spoils me a little bit. That makes me happy. But you see, joy goes way beyond something making me feel that way. Joy is a deep peace, fulfillment, and knowing who God is. Notice here, rejoice in the Lord always. Psalm 16, verse 11, the Bible says, thou wilt show me. So where do we find joy? The world doesn't offer you joy. Things will not make you joyful. They might make you happy for a little bit, but then it won't last. An example of when you give a child a toy. You give them a brand new bike and they ride that bike up and down the driveway. And I mean, they're happy as could be. And a week later, you see that bicycle just sitting there in the yard, in the rain, in the snow. Did that really make that child joyful? It made him happy for a little bit, but it wore out. You see, joy is lasting. It says, rejoice in the Lord when? It's something that lasts. You see, church, many times we're like that child. We think, oh, if I can get this, oh, if I can get married, oh, if I this or that, I'll be joyful. No, it doesn't last. True joy needs to come from the source of true joy. Psalm, could somebody read for me Psalm 16, verse 11, please? Psalm 16:11. Can you read? Mr. Madrid here is going to read for us.
Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
So where do we find true joy? I can't hear you. The engine of the airplane is really loud, so it fit. Where do you find true joy? With Jesus, in his presence. Nowhere else are you going to find joy. Some people think, oh, but if I marry, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be joyful. You won't. If you're not joyful now, you're not going to be when you get married. In God's presence, in knowing Jesus, you'll find joy. Isaiah 61, verse 10. Could somebody read? Brother Dan Brubaker, would you please read for us Isaiah 61, 10, please? Isaiah? No.
Go ahead. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels.
So where do you find joy? With the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord means finding joy and contentment in God. Regardless of circumstances, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what you have or don't have, you can still be joyful. But you see, I think many times we get this mentality that we need things to make us happy. It won't. If things made you happy, would we live in the happiest country in the world or not? Yet do we? You see, the only true joy is not found in things, but it's found through knowing Jesus, through a relationship with Jesus Christ. But Paul says here, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Listen, you can rejoice in God independently of your circumstances. Notice, let's go on here. And we saw here that joy comes from a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus. Listen, Jesus will bring you joy if you'll let him save you. I remember the day that I got saved. It was the happiest day of my life because I knew I was on my way to heaven because I had put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning you're not saved. That's the first step to finding true joy. But notice the object of our joy. Can anybody figure out what it is? Rejoice in, there's a little preposition, right? Is that a preposition in? Yeah. Rejoice in the Lord. I think that's the building step in dealing with anxiety, in dealing with stress, in dealing with the things that consume us. It's taking our eyes off ourselves and of our problems. Start looking at how good Jesus is. And start looking at what Jesus did for us. You see, if how you feel is what makes you happy, you're not going to be happy very long. You can start out the day, oh yeah, I had a good night's sleep, and you're so excited, and my coffee was just perfect, I had enough sugar on it. And then somebody cuts you off on your way to work. Circumstances change. But Jesus doesn't. We must understand that, listen, if we really are going to find joy, it's going to be through knowing and loving and walking with Jesus. Not in buying more things, not in getting more stuff to fill our garage. It's not going to make you happy. So we can agree with this, that the only source of true joy is Jesus. But notice the next verse here. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. What does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm wondering the same thing. No, okay. Moderation. I was studying for another rating in my pilot license here in America, and we study a lot about the weather. And in aviation, we have different levels of turbulence. How many of you ever flown an airplane before? How many of you had fun when you hit turbulence? On the flight up to here, I'm sleepy, and we hit what we call moderate turbulence. And moderate turbulence is where, and we freak out, but it's where the moderate turbulence, it's where it's enough turbulence that you can feel your body shaking in your seat against the seatbelt. That's what determines moderate. So there's light turbulence where, you know, you're flying along and you're feeling the, you know, I like it. I remember when I was a baby and people would rock me. Just kidding. So there's light turbulence, moderate, which is halfway, and then there's severe. Now, severe turbulence is where things are flying around the cabin and you're ducking for your life, and that's no bueno. That's not good. But moderate is the what? In between, right? We should live moderate lives. What does that mean? Notice here, moderation, that means not extreme. Exercise restraint or self-control. In other words, the way that we live should be consistent. Not extreme, not another extreme, but moderate. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. So I like to think of it as extremes. How about this? Oh, one day we're happy and we're praising the Lord. And the other day is like, don't look at me, don't talk with me, don't. Why are you looking at me in that tone of voice? Is that moderation? Is that being moderate? No. 2 Timothy 2:14, the Bible says 2:24. The Bible says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." So we have the first thing: rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation, the way you live, be an example. Be made known to all men. No, that's a consistent. How about consistency here? You see, because things around life is always changing. But a Christian should be a consistent follower of Jesus. So, are we consistent? Or am I sometimes, woohoo! And other times, my fries are cold. I remember working at Chick-fil-A, some people would get so mad because they were a few fries short of a Happy Meal. No, just kidding. Again, if things make you happy, if that's what determines how you feel or how good life is going, is what's making you happy, then you're getting your source of joy from the wrong source. But it's interesting. I always misread this verse. I had to change a little bit my message because as I dug a little bit deeper, it's not what, but that phrase, the Lord is at hand. I was thinking other times where the Bible refers to the Lord being at hand as if, you know, the Lord is returning soon, and praise the Lord is returning. But do you know what that means here? The Lord is at hand. Close. The Lord is near. So if God is close to me, I can rejoice. But the same is truth on the other side. If God is not close to me, I'm not going to be happy. I'm not going to be really joyful. So is the Lord close to you? Is the Lord close to me? That'll determine whether you're rejoicing in the Lord or you're trying to find your joy somewhere else. But let's continue here. Notice with me the next verse. Be careful for nothing. What's your name? Yeah. Paul. Nice to meet you, Paul. This thing, be careful for nothing. Have you ever met somebody that's clumsy? No. Come on, guys. Has anybody met somebody? And they're like, you know. That's not what be careful for nothing means, okay? Don't get home, Malachi, Paul, and be careful for nothing. Malachi, there's a chair there. That's not, ouch, that hurts. That's not what this means, be careful for nothing. That means be anxious, full of care, or even a better translation, full of care for nothing. Remember this message, the ultimate goal of this message is to talk about anxiety. What is anxiety? It is when we are so full of care about something that consumes us. How many of you have ever been there? Pick me. But you know, the thing about when we're anxious or full of care over something is most of the time, we can't change that situation. Pastor Madrid, I'd get so anxious about the church and why are these people not growing? I can't make people grow. Why aren't they following the Lord like they should? I can't make them follow the Lord like they should. Yet many times we're so anxious or so full of care over things that we really can't change. But in context here, we got to go back to what the Bible says. First of all, we got to start finding our true joy in the right source. We got to remember that God is as close to us. The Lord is at hand. God is as close to me as I want him to be. And then, will I be able to release the tension of my grasping hand and say, Lord, I'm going to stop being so consumed with this. I'm going to let you take it over. Now, church, what are you anxious about this morning? Or in other words, what do you think is so big that God can't handle? Is it a bill? Is it a relationship? But notice, be careful for nothing. Notice, but in everything. Everything. It's interesting how the Bible, I love the simplicity of Scripture. Rejoice in the Lord how often? Be careful for what? In what? There you go, he got it. Everything. Yet we want to characterize, Lord, you can have this, but oh no, I want to take care of this myself. When God wants us to live surrendered life, close, filled with his joy, filled with his peace. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious. Be overzealous over nothing. But in everything. That word there, careful, it's the Greek word. Now, don't judge my Greek pronunciation here. I'm not going to try to say it. Which means I am over anxious. I am anxious about, or I care for. That's the word careful right there. What are you anxious about this morning? What are you holding on to when you just need to let go and let God take care of? Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 32 says, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we put gas in the car? I mean, wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek after. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." What are you anxious about? Maybe this morning in your heart you say, oops, there's that thing. Would you bring it to God? Would you say, Lord, I can't, but you can? Notice, but everything by prayer and supplication. Notice, there's another preposition there. With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. It's interesting, that phrase there, with thanksgiving. I like to think of it this way. Even before God answers, that is prayer and faith. How many times I have prayed in my life and I asked, but I'm like, but Lord, I know you're not really going to do it, right? That's a prayerless faith. I remember with the aviation ministry, I complained the whole way through getting my pilot license because I didn't want to get it. And then I was like, okay, Lord, okay, there it is. So there, where's the airplane? I was. And the Lord, like a couple months later, like, there's the airplane. So many times we pray, but we really don't believe God's going to answer. Lord, I'm praying for a husband or a spouse or a wife, but I don't really think you're going to provide that right person. That's not prayer and faith. Instead, we just hold on and we internalize that and we keep worrying and thinking and get consumed with all these cares. And that steals us from what God really wants to do in and through us. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Lord, thank you that you're going to deal. Thank you that you're going to fix this. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to guide in this. Let your requests be made known unto God. Notice verse 7. Well, here's the other point is bring your anxieties before God. Bring it to Jesus. 1 Peter 5, 4. Brother Zach, could you read 1 Peter? Oh, got him by surprise there. 1 Peter 5, 7. Brother Brubaker, Hebrews 4, 16, please. You already read. No. You want to read? Yeah. Psalm 34, 4 and 5, please. Go ahead.
Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
Do you see that? All your care. He cares for you. The Lord is at hand. God cares, but nobody cares or nobody knows what I'm going through. That's a lie. Jesus does. We know that he was tempted in all manners like we are, yet without sin. He understands what you're going through. And he's the only one that can help you through it. Hebrews 4:16. Grace to help in time of need. What are you anxious about this morning? Would you bring it to Jesus? You got to go to the right source to find the right help. Psalm 34, 4 and 5, please.
Psalm 34,
If you seek me, you shall find me. Psalm 94, verse 18 and 19. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitudes of my thought within me, that thy comforts delighted my soul. Would you bring whatever you're struggling with to Jesus? Then look at the promise of peace. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds and thoughts, through Christ Jesus. You can't have both. You can't have peace and anxiety. Yet many times we live in anxiety because we don't have God's peace. How do we get there? Rejoicing in the Lord. Remembering how close we are to God. And stop worrying. Say, Lord, I can't, but you can. And the result of that is peace. When you bring to God your anxieties, when we bring to God our struggles, He replaces that with peace. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts. It actually says hearts and minds. Really briefly, those two go hand to hand. Because the very next verse, Paul goes into talking about simply about the mind. Because what? The mind dictates where our heart goes. Most of the time, anxiety is a direct result of an uncontrolled mind. We refuse to trust Jesus. When I'm being anxious, ultimately I'm saying, Lord, I don't believe you got this. And that's a sin. God wants us to have peace. But then he gives a list of what to think. Notice, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are, okay, you fill in those words there. Whatsoever things are, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So what are you thinking? Where is your mind this morning? Is it consumed with anxiety, with things you can't change, you can't control, that God really never meant for you to bear alone? I was thinking on this verse as I'm getting ready to go back to Brazil, and honestly, I was starting to get anxious about getting back to Brazil. And but I need to be careful for nothing. My joy is not whether I'm in America or not. My joy is not whether everything is good or not. My joy is in the fact that I know Jesus and He loves me and He's going to protect me and He's going to enable me to serve Him. So what are you anxious about this? Are you anxious? Are you truly joyful? Does the joy of the Lord reflect in your life? I'm going to ask the pianist to come. And I'd like for us to search our hearts. What are you holding on to that you need to bring it to the Lord this morning? Think of this song, I think, goes hand in hand with the message. We hold on to so much. When God wants to help us carry our burdens, our loads. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Pastor, I'm going to ask you to come and do the invitation as you see fit.